These are things that are issues that are debatable, all right? But probably the world is not going to ask you about this. They're not going to ask you, is gambling okay? Because they're like, well, yeah, gambling, you know. So, all right, modesty, what's that? Walking around on campus is like, that data, never mind, I'm going to get in trouble there. Drinking? Sure. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, again, though, these topics are hot topics, I guess, within Christianity, if you will, rather than outside. Okay? So, now remember, in all of these discussions, with all of these questions, we began by asking, what does the Bible say directly that this, thus says the Lord? Then we ask, what does the Bible maybe not say exactly, but a rather very, very strong case can be implied that we can infer from what the Bible does say, almost certainly this is what's true. The third level are things that good-hearted, faithful believers are not going to all think the same, even though these are biblical principles involved. These are areas where we're going to have to tolerate different opinions even within Christianity. One example, for example, is in vitro fertilization. All right, some Christians believe that that's just downright sinful. And other Christians say, are you kidding? What a blessing from God. All right, got it? But I want to introduce a fourth level of question. Remember those three levels? What the Bible says, what the Bible seems to imply rather strongly, and what people get from the Bible, but honestly, good-hearted Christians don't agree on. The fourth level is, what about actions which are not sinful? Period. But which offend the consciences of many fellow believers. This is a fourth level. This level becomes very important in these topics. Okay? Got it? So I'm going to talk about that. So now we have four levels of discussion. What the Bible certainly says, what we can reasonably infer from the Bible, all right, almost unanimously probably, gray areas, and actions which are not sinful per se, but which offend the consciences of many fellow believers. And that's the topics that you all asked about. Okay? So I want to talk about that fourth category. We have to define biblically why this is a thing. Why does something which is not sinful, which therefore you can do, then why do we have to talk about whether you can do it or not? Got it? Why is something that you can do as a Christian, then why do we have to talk about it? Well, let's find out. So we're going to go to Romans 14. All right, now I'm not going to read Romans 14, 1 through 12, because it's going to get long. I want to spend only about 10 or 15 minutes on this, because I want to get to the topics. So I'll just summarize Romans 14, 1 through 12, where basically Paul talks about two categories of people. He's going to talk about the weak and the strong. Now, when you hear the weak and the strong, you're thinking of the weak Christian and the strong Christian. The strong Christian being the one who's faithful, they really give their heart to God. The weak Christian and the one who's got some stuff going on, and maybe they're, you know, they got some real stuff in their life. Got it? That is not what Paul's talking about at all. All right? The weak and the strong has to do with their conscience. All right? Examples that fit into this are, what kind of movies can we watch? All right? What kinds of things can we do on social media? What is acceptable things on social media? What about drinking? What about attending events with people who are drinking? What about dancing at a nightclub or playing poker for money? Or what about medical marijuana? And there's so many things in this category. Okay? So, let me define the weak and the strong from Romans 14, 1 through 12. The weak are not weak Christians. In fact, they could be very, very strong Christians. The weak, in quotes, if you read Romans 14, 1 through 12, are those with a particularly sensitive conscience on a particular issue. For them, you could tell them that it's not sinful, and they say, but how could you do that? Okay? How could you do that? Oh, I guess, I suppose, maybe, but based on biblical principles, it seems to me sinful. Got it? The strong are not the strong Christian. The strong are the ones who, whose conscience is not bothered by that at all. Okay? And I, by the way, at the end of our session, I'm going to ask, name a Christian issue on which you are a weak Christian in this sense, and then name an issue in which you are strong. Okay? There are issues for which I'm more offended. You know, there's things that I think Christians shouldn't do. Shouldn't do it. Now, I'm sorry, but I just don't think they should. And they do anyway, like, okay, so what am I going to do about that? That, in that case, I'm being weak. The other hand, I go, what's the deal? I mean, even Paul, you know, even Paul did that in the Bible. You know, man, why are you all so upset? Why are you offended? Okay, got it? Good. So let's read Romans 14, 13 through 23. All right, so Paul's already established this idea of strong and weak. His example, by the way, is meat sacrificed to idols. Some people who were raised in idolatry and had for their whole lives been doing these sacrificial meals, eating meat as a way of worshiping a god, a little g god, for them to see Christians do that, there's like, how could you do that? How could you do that? I mean, that's paganism. Or is that the weak or the strong Christian? That's the weak one. Other Christians say an idol is nothing. So a meat sacrificed to an idol is a meat sacrificed to nothing. And therefore, it means nothing. So how could it be sinful? By the way, who's right in that case? The weak or the strong one?
Neither.
No, the strong one is right. It is not a sin to eat meat, which some dude did like this sacrifice to nothing. I mean, how could that be sinful? See that? Okay, got it? So that's the example Paul's using. Let me read it. Verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Now, who's passing judgment? The weak or the strong? The weak one. Got it? Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Now, understand the context. It means meat sacrificed to idols specifically. Okay. So, he's stating the truth on this matter, which is, it's not a sin. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. Let me read that again. If anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. In which case, if they were to do it, it would be a sin for them. All right, if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat or watch or do or drink, all right, you are not acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food or a movie or a social media whatever. Okay, got it? All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything else which will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourselves and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And listen to this. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. In other words, if you think it is wrong, then it is
wrong
for you. That's an interesting statement. Because God gave us a conscience. And we shouldn't be violating our conscience. Okay, got it? So let me go back through there. Verse 14, if we regard it as unclean, then it is unclean. In other words, it's sinful to offend our consciences. Okay? The key here is love in every case. Got it? Now, who's going to have to kind of go out of the way to show love in this case, the strong or the weak?
Strong.
The strong. Not always, but usually. So the burden is on the strong. Okay, got it? By the way, I'm so proud you all got that instantly. That's good. That's great. Verse 16. Let me reread verse 16. It's kind of difficult to interpret. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. Now, that sounds like the strong person saying to the weak person, stop telling me what to do. See that? Let me read that again. Do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. It sounds like, that's not what it is, by the way. It sounds like the strong person saying to the weak person, get over it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying, therefore, well then just don't do it. If you just don't do it, then they won't speak evil of it. Okay? So, for example, if you know it's okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols, but it will cause extreme offense to your brother or sister, well then, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. And then, it won't be spoken of as evil. By the way, it is possible you could do it in what situation? Right, at your house. So what you do in your private life, what you do in public is very different. This is an important issue in Christianity. By the way, the world doesn't care about this at all, okay? This is so different from other topics. So different. This is important, okay? Young Christians, normally we don't even go over this with young Christians, but this is an important thing. And the sooner you figure this out, the better Christian you're going to be. Okay? Paul is telling us that there's something we consider not sinful, but which is a stumbling block to a weaker disciple, we should at least be willing to give up our freedom for the sake of the conscience of the weak. So the solution is either to not do it at all, or perhaps in some cases, to simply not do it in front of them. Okay? You're not going to lie about it. If they ask you, you'll tell them. But maybe it's not their business necessarily. Okay? We should be willing to not drink alcohol or not listen to certain kinds of music or not go to certain movies or maybe not flaunt our tattoos even. If you go to Africa, cover them up. Trust me. Trust me. Okay? If you go to Africa, cover up your knees too, by the way. They don't wear shorts. Okay? Yeah. Or to wear clothes that you consider cute. Because some people consider it provocative. By the way, in that case, the weak is the guys. And the strong is the girls, just so you know. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to give a public apology to all women as part of this class. It really kind of sucks that women should have freedom, but they don't. And it's not because of anything they ever did. It's because of guys. You know? That really kind of sucks. Sorry. All right? All right. Good. Verse 19. Here's the main point. It is far more important to build up the body than it is for you to do what you're free to do. In the parallel passage in 1 Corinthians, 8, he says, all things are permissible. Okay, in quotes. But then he says, but not all things are beneficial. And that's the question. All right, got it? All right. Don't be a stumbling block. Now, here's a question. I think you're going to get this one right. Can something which is not sinful be sinful? Yes. It can. All right? By the way, this should not be kind of like a... if you read the parallel passages in Corinthians, let me see. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13, and also 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 33, he does slightly walk this back. All right, there shouldn't be the tyranny of the weak over the strong. All right, got that? The weak shouldn't have automatic, absolute, complete veto power on anything the strong might want to do. There's a point at which, come on, all right? But by far, the burden falls on the supposed strong. Got it? All right, so here's my conclusion here. It is, and by the way, I'm virtually quoting Romans 14 here. I'm virtually quoting. This is not an interpretation. This is basically what he said. It is sinful for the strong to do an otherwise unsinful thing if it can reasonably be thought to be a stumbling block to the weak. Okay? Are there exceptions? Yeah, but let's not talk about that right now because that's not what we're here to talk about. Okay? We're going to apply that to these things. And number two, it is sinful for the weak, in quotes, disciple to do what he or she believes to be sinful in their conscience. All right? So, for example, if you think all alcohol consumption is just inherently sinful, then don't do it. If you're in a group of disciples that are going to an R movie, and you feel like R movies are just unacceptable, then don't go. Speak up. Okay? Because presumably you're in a family of people who love you. And hopefully what they'll do is go to a different movie. But if they don't, well then, but don't go. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So aren't like all Christians like the ones that are fighting Christ, we're not supposed to watch those at all because like the
eye is the mind of the body? Okay, let me, for example, there's one famous R movie, The Passion of the Christ. That's an R movie. So if you make a rule, see, we don't have time to go over it. That's Colossians 2. Colossians 2 says rules are not helpful. Okay? Convictions are helpful. Okay? And that's why this topic is out there. There's, all right, sure, there are movies that all Christians would agree. Absolutely no Christian could possibly watch that one. And then Bambi. All Christians can watch Bambi. But wait, there's violence in Bambi. You know, the deer gets killed. I'm joking. But let's be real about it. There are areas where some disciples are going to feel like, how could you watch that? I certainly couldn't. And others will feel differently. That's what Paul's talking about. So, yes, for sure. For sure. But in the real life of Christianity, There are things like this. That's why Paul brings it up. You know? Some Christians would say, how could any Christian ever eat meat that had been used in a pagan sacrifice? And they'd be fully convinced of that, you see? And there are movies, for example, for some people, violence is the reason you could never watch that movie. For other people, nudity is the reason you could never watch that movie. For other people, language is the reason you could never watch that movie. Okay? You see what I'm saying? It seems simple, but in the real world it's not, even for Christians. I appreciate your question, and I appreciate the heart behind it. Okay? But in reality, this is going to come up. Okay? I would say movies with violence in them, some people aren't offended by it. Horror movies. Some people, like, How could a Christian allow that kind of stuff to even... Other people are like, oh, I thought it was funny. You know? You get it? So it seems simple, but it's not. It's just not. That's why we're talking about it right now. Okay, got it? In fact, we're going to go through several real actual questions, not meat sacrificed idols. Okay? I'm going to stick with these two statements because Paul said it under the inspiration of the Bible. Okay? If there's something that you know is of rather great offense to a fellow disciple, even though you know it's not a sin, then it's a sin for you to do it, just for that very reason. Number one. Number two, if in your heart you can't see how this could be okay to do as a Christian, then you can't do it. Got it? Yes?
Going back to number one, right? You said if... let's just say, right, you don't like violent movies, right? And I don't care. And then, so for you, technically, that would be a weak Christian, right? Because it would be a sin for you to watch it.
Right.
You don't like it and you think it's...
Right. Bad. Now, be careful to use the word weak. The reason I'm using that is that's the language Paul uses.
But overall, like, you think it's bad for you, right? If you want.
Right. What Paul is talking about is things which offend our conscience.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay. Now, I think this, when we do the actual issues, I think it'll become a little bit more clear what we're talking about. Maybe not fully clear. I would say this. The concept is not hard. The concept is not difficult. I think everybody in this room knows what that means. The application, it gets pretty tricky. Okay, I'm talking about alcohol. Now remember those four levels? Let's go back, those four levels. Okay. Okay, those four levels, there they are. We're gonna go through all four with drinking, alcohol, okay? All right, here we go. Level number one. Drunkenness is a sin. Okay? Right? The Bible says it. Galatians 5:19, right? The list, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Blah, 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 blah. Drunkenness, blah, 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 blah. Or how about Ephesians 5:18? All right? Do not get drunk on wine. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Okay? Drunkenness is a sin. It's wrong for any Christian ever to get drunk. Period. We don't have to qualify that. Okay? So I said, well, what if you're, gonna have surgery anesthesia? What if you, alright, come on. Anyway. We got it? It's sin. It's a sin. Okay, got it? All right. Level two. There is no level two. We don't need, it's settled. Drunkenness is a sin. Level three. Remember level three, which is gray area? Here's level three. All right, what's the definition of drunk? That's level three. What's the definition of drunk? Okay. Now, as a Christian, I would say, why would you ask that question? Okay. But still, because to ask that question, it's almost implying that you're trying to find what can I get away with? You know what I'm saying? But in real life, this is a question. So I'm gonna use a fun way to answer this question. I'm gonna let the state of California define drunk for us, okay? Which is 0.08% blood alcohol. Alright? For Hanai and, probably for Stephanie, two drinks and you'd be drunk. Okay? For Alvin, three drinks and to be drunk. And I'm not going to point at anybody else. You get the idea, okay? Got it? All right. So if two drinks, you'd be drunk for some people. How about two drinks and so, got it? So, here's my suggestion for rule for level three. Don't ever have more than one. By the way, for some people, go back, here we go. For some people, all alcohol is a sin. Okay? Got it? But Paul suggested to Timothy to drink a little bit of wine to help him with his stomach issue. Okay, got it? So, can I give you this suggestion? I've lived by this for the last 47 years. Okay? Just one. One beer, one glass of wine. I used to have the idea, well, hard liquor is a sin. Wine and beer is okay, but hard liquor, but it's the same amount of alcohol. So one, with margarita, okay? By the way, for you, it's a sin to have any drinks at all. You know why? Because it's illegal and Christians don't break the law. Okay, got it? For you? Okay, got it? I think in your house, I think if your parents get... Never mind. Okay? So, well, why not... Come on, that's legalistic. Okay, fine. You're a 240-pound person. You can have two beers. All right, fine. I'm not going to argue with you. But this rule works great for me. I better... By the way, zero's just as good as one. Okay? Got it? That's what I say. I'm sticking with it. I think if you have this rule from today to the day you die, you'll never, ever get drunk. I'll tell you this. If you're really tired and have an empty stomach and blah, 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 you could actually get drunk on two drinks, even if you're a big person. But for little people, I'm sorry, but you just, there's no way. Okay, got it? Level four. How am I doing here? All right. This is all right. Level four. Which is, what about conscience? Okay. Some believers, and in fact, many believers are convinced that all alcohol is just a sin. There are entire denominations that teach that. And with great conviction. All right. Also, there are many believers who have had addiction issues with alcohol and other drugs. For them, it's a sin to drink any alcohol at all. By the way, I had a friend who had had that problem. He had alcoholism, and he somehow, he said this whole zero tolerance thing. No, as Christians, we should learn self-control. By the way, this guy was a minister. And he said, I think that's bogus. I mean, it's we should be able to enjoy. So he started having one drink. And then about 4 years later, he left Christ, divorced his wife, and he's now living on the streets. Okay? So I say there's some people for whom all alcohol is a sin. Okay? So here's my suggestion. A couple of things. Number one, don't serve alcohol at any Christian event. That's my suggestion. It's my practice. As the leader of the Merced Christian Church, that will be our practice, just so you know. Okay? We had this problem in San Diego. We worked with a singles group. We had some pretty mature singles, and they would do some smaller things just at their house. And anyway. And also, don't post pictures of you in any connection with alcohol on any social media. Just don't do it. By the way, this is just my opinion. I'll take your question in a second. This is just my opinion. It's just my advice based on level four. Okay? I have a beer at my house sometimes. Yeah, I do. I have a glass of wine or a beer when I'm out to dinner with my wife or with a smaller group of more mature Christians. Okay? Got it? I'm ready to go on unless you have a question on this one.
Yeah, if wine is sin, alcohol, how does that work? You know, they just use grape juice instead?
All right, the early church used wine, partly because it was literally impossible to use grape juice most of the year. All right, because grape juice ferments naturally. They did have ways to slow that down. But if we're talking about one tiny sip, by the way, even, you know, 12-year-old children can have wine. It's okay. It's legal. The government, you know, sorry for doing this as a kind of a, whatever. It's okay. Okay? It's not a sin. However, for people with alcohol problems, that's why we offer grape juice. In fact, we didn't offer, for a few months, we didn't offer grape juice. But one of our visitors wasn't doing the Lord's Supper. And I apologized to him. I apologized to him. And we started offering grape juice. Okay? I'm ready to go on. Okay, gambling. Okay? Now this can be a confusing issue. The reason is there's so many different kinds of gambling and the implications are fairly different. All right. For example, there's going to a casino where that's the only reason it exists. All right. There's playing the lottery, like $2 for the lottery. All right. There's online gambling and there's poker. A bunch of people get together and, you know, $3, $5. And then there's a personal bet. All right, $5 on the, you know, that'll beat you in this golf round or whatever. Okay, clearly those are not exactly the same. And some people say playing the stock market is gambling, which in some sense it actually is. But I would say there's a difference because on average with gambling, you always lose. I know if anybody says different, it's because they don't know what they're talking about, okay? Either it's between person and person, in which case it just causes heartaches, whatever. So the stock market, it is kind of like gambling, but no, on average, it actually, anyway. So, all right. Level one, there is none. There is no scripture about gambling. I was pretty sure there wasn't, so I went on Google. And I Googled scriptures on gambling, and I found a website that had 48 scriptures on gambling, and not a single one of them mentioned gambling. It mentioned casting lots. That's not gambling. You know, like casting lots to, you know, they did that to choose the, that's not gambling. Okay. So, is it shocking to know that gambling's not mentioned in the Bible? It's not. I said that to Jan, and she gave me this look like I was lying. Okay, but it's not. So level two, biblical principles inform this issue. All right, for example, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor God with your money. Luke 16, 1 through 13 says, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. And there's a principle which is, in 1 Corinthians 4 says, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And we need to use our money faithfully. All right? Therefore, my conclusion is gambling is not sinful per se. Okay, got it? See that? But any kind of gambling which involves significant amounts of money, which you could lose and it's God's money, or which is not for fun. Gambling, you know, is sinful. Okay? Now, you don't have to agree with me on that because I'm inferring that from the Bible. All right? And gambling is addictive for some people, but not for everybody. And let me add this, that, again, this is my opinion, online gambling is extremely dangerous. No. I know it's just my opinion. I know it's just my opinion. But online gambling, where you alone with this, what? No. Don't ever do it. What about a $2 lottery ticket? I don't do it. Personally, forgive me. But I think it's kind of dumb. But, you know, people do it for fun. Come on. Fun. What about a casino? Okay? I'm a minister. I'm not going to go to a casino. To me, that's a stumbling block. I would never go to a casino. Oh, wait. Maybe if I was in Monte Carlo or something like that, you know, just for fun, $10. Yeah, okay. You see, this is a confusing issue. It's not clear. All right, you get that? It's not clear. Okay. So level one. What's the Bible say about gambling?
Don't do it.
No. Nothing. Level two, what can we infer about gambling? There are kinds of gambling that would, I don't care, they're a sin. There are kinds of contexts for gambling that are a sin. I can't give you a specific threshold there. I can't. Some people do very, very small, minor kinds of gambling as entertainment. They put $10 into a pool for whatever,
football.
Basketball. Yeah, okay? I just don't see how I can call that a sin. But there's level four, remember? There's people whose conscience doesn't allow any kind of gambling. And we have to be aware of that. Many believers cannot gamble on any level with a clear conscience. Many are addicted to gambling. It's kind of like gambling around, drinking around an alcoholic. And some disciples should not gamble on any level at all for any reason. Therefore, here's my suggestion. Two things. Number one, do not get involved in gambling that involves large amounts of money. Ever. It's a sin. Because it's irresponsible to try to make money by gambling with money that theoretically is not yours, it's God's. To do it for entertainment, to me, is like, okay, I think I'm a weak disciple on this one, honestly. I'm close to being a weak disciple in this area, okay? Just so you know. All right? But if you do it on the download, you know what I mean by that? Don't go to, yeah, I went to the casino. If you went to the casino this weekend, just shut your lip. Why would you tell anybody that? If you bought a lottery ticket, don't tell anybody unless they ask you. Now, if you played poker with the buddies or, you know, I guess you threw $5 into a pool on a whatever. All right. I'd say, look, let's just keep it on the down low, because the bottom line is some people are not going to be able to. You see that? Good. All right, marijuana. Okay, there's two categories. They call it recreational. In other words, using it to get high. Okay? And then medicinal. And I'm going to put a big quotation around that medicinal one, but okay, okay. Okay, so I'm going to talk about recreational, because I believe there's no level four for recreational marijuana. There is none. There's no level four. Okay. I don't even think there's a level three. I don't think so. All right, so level two. By the way, how many scriptures are there discussing marijuana use? None. So we're at level two. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to do this sort of fast because I'm running out of time. 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says, I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Anything that has the potential to be addictive for you is something you should not do. Okay? That's why I believe even coffee at some level is a sin. Got it? At some level. I got to look. Yeah, at some level, coffee is a sin. Okay? For anybody. It's not a matter of conscience. Allowing yourself to become addicted to things is, Paul said, no, we're not going to let that happen. Got it? I suppose it's debatable, but I'd say no. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I'm doing this sort of quickly, folks. Where Paul says, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Honor God with your body. I would say getting high on marijuana that's no way that's honoring God with your body. It's the same thing with cigarettes. Okay? And then Galatians 5:20, which I believe is even more clear. Remember that list of sins in Galatians 5? One of them is witchcraft. But the actual word is pharmakeia. Drugs. Mind-altering drugs. I believe mind-altering drugs are something that a Christian should never do. Okay? Level two. All right, so what's a mind-altering drug? Okay? Marijuana is a mind-altering drug. I did it a lot in high school and college, and it is a mind-altering drug. Is alcohol a mind-altering drug? That's a little bit debatable. It's a little bit debatable, but marijuana certainly is, okay? By the way, I would argue that in some ways, alcohol is more dangerous to human beings than marijuana, but I'm talking about for Christians. Okay, so I'm going to argue that all recreational use of marijuana is a sin for all Christians. Somebody might disagree with me, but I'm the minister here, and I really believe that's the case. All right. I got four reasons. Number one, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Number two, 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 20. Number three, Galatians 5:20. Now, this is my fourth reason. It's a level two reason. What would Jesus do? Seriously? You know, really? Would Jesus smoke marijuana? No. Yeah. This is my opinion, by the way. There's a lot of, in these classes, I've been stating more that's a matter of opinion than normally would be the case.
So there's a level three?
I don't think so. To me, it's not controversial. Smoking dope is a sin. Thank you for asking that question. Well, what about edibles? What's the difference? Okay? Okay, but this is a class. All right? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so does strychnine, which is, or so does, what those mushrooms, the mushrooms that, the ones that they killed people, they used to kill people in Australia? So does, so does snake venom. So does anthrax. I mean, the fact that something's natural, that's about, forgive me, but that's a ridiculous argument. There's a lot of natural things that are a sin to do. All right. How about heroin? That's natural. So, fine, people say that. But as a Christian, I say that, all right, that argument does not work at all. And even you know that doesn't work. All right. What about, I don't know, help me out here. Something that's totally point. What? Poison ivy, it's natural. So eat it. You know, that's not even an argument. Although people will say that. That's a really good question. Yeah, I've heard it. I've totally heard it too. Alright, now, level four. This is a matter of conscience, I would say. What about medicinal use? And let me make a comment there. Marijuana has been shown to be helpful for people who are having serious problems with eating. All right. And certain sleep issues. But almost all the things people say marijuana helps you with, it doesn't help you with. It's been tried and it doesn't work. Besides, just, you know, marijuana, it has some really, really strong effects. All right. Now, there are forms of the cannabinoid that don't get you high. I'm not going to get into all the details there. But I would say conscience applies here, but, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a good friend who had horrible, horrible chronic pain, and he took morphine every day. And he had a thing that is just, it would go into his spine. He had a tap for that. This guy was getting high as a kite every day, essentially. But the alternative was for him to not even be able to think. You know what I'm saying? So there's medical situations where there's stuff, you know, I had surgery on my eye, and they got me high as a kite for, you know, man, those first few seconds, like, whoa, oh, this is, and then, you know what I'm saying? So if we're talking about medicine, all right, we're talking about actual medicine. In other words, you went to an actual doctor and he gave you an actual prescription. I say amen. If another Christian is bothered by that, well, then just don't tell them. They don't need to know. They don't need to know. Okay, got it? But just remember, there's certain doctors, they'll write a prescription to anybody who breathes for marijuana, okay? So to me, marijuana is pretty straightforward. Just don't do it. It's a sin. However, medical marijuana, in certain kinds of extraordinary situations, I think we need to give some people some space for that to be a possibility, like any medicine. All medicines raise possible conscience issues. What about depression? Should you get on medication for depression? Some people would say no. Got it? I'm going to move on to my last issue. Modesty. Okay, this is a fun one. Why? Because what am I talking about modesty for? By the way, I can only find one verse in the entire Bible that talked about modest dress. I was shocked. Because Christians talk about it a lot. It's, right? It's a big thing. I literally found only one verse that talked about it. I thought there'd be more. It's 1 Timothy 2:9. Where Paul specifically addresses women, saying out women to dress modestly with decency and propriety. Now, when I looked up the scriptures of modesty, they gave me 1 Peter 3:3-4. Women should be careful about not being, you know, outward adornment. It should be the inner beauty, right? But that's not talking about modesty. That's talking about, I don't know, wearing big jewelry and, you know, whatever. And then people use, I've heard people use 1 Corinthians 12:23, the parts of the body that are less honorable we treat with special modesty. But that's not even talking about that's totally out of context. So, here's my conclusion. I've got to finish up in the next 2 minutes. It is a sin for women to dress immodestly. It's a sin. Okay? Because it's a stumbling block. Two guys. And I guess gay women too, I suppose. Alright. So let's go to level 3 on this one. Like Hamlet said, aye, there's the rub. So what is the definition of immodest dress?
Make a rule right now.
Okay. Alright, so here's my quick answer. Women, discuss this amongst yourself. Okay? But you might want to ask a guy, because guys kind of sort of know better than girls what immodest dress is. All right? Honest truth, number one. Number two, aim somewhere in the middle. So this is, hello, you know, forgive me, but breasts hanging out of the clothing and, all right. And over here is like, you know, like the dress down to the floor and, you know, like, I say for Christians, let's go over here somewhere. Or maybe even over here. Just stay away from over there. Okay? Number three, avoid legalism and meanness. Women, let's give each other a break, okay? Let's sure, modesty for sure, but I think women can get pretty judgmental on each other on this one. Let's be cautious. So let's allow the women to some extent decide for themselves up to a point. Okay? But do not ignore this issue. I'm going to stop talking. Okay? But you asked me to talk about it, okay? I just did. All right. Other questions? Yeah. Yes. Do you find yourself distracted by men that dressed immodestly?
There are some women.
Yeah, there are. Okay. Yes, it should. Right. It should. Oh, I forgot to do my apology. All right. I'm apologizing for every guy in this room. It really sucks that you lose some freedom to dress in a way that you actually feel beautiful. You know? Because of men, all right? Because that's who's a stumbling block for. All right, I think you know, guys wearing these things, but guys almost never do. That's the thing. Yes, help me out. Can you think of a situation? Have women here in this room, have there been situations where you felt like that's not appropriate? Have you ever felt that way about a guy? Okay, so, alright, so we, Christian men shouldn't be doing that, but we don't really tend to, so, yeah. But ladies, if you ever in a situation you feel like that was inappropriate, you let us know, okay? You let us know. Okay? Yeah. Please. I'm not just saying that to be, you know, okay? There are many other questions like these, like that I didn't address. Yeah.
I have a question about the marijuana one. I've heard a story of a guy that he smoked the marijuana because he felt relaxed to read the Bible, and he actually could read the Bible. How would you respond to that?
Very funny. That's just an excuse. Okay. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Okay. So maybe what he should do is meditate, or maybe what he should do is go out on a run, or find something else. There's got to be something else that can relax him other than getting high. Okay. There's got to be something else. Okay. By the way, don't laugh at him. I shouldn't have done that. That's disrespectful. Don't laugh at him.
No, I don't know.
You could chuckle inside, but I would say, you know, here's a possible answer. Jesus would not smoke marijuana so he could read the Bible. And I don't care even if he had PTSD and whatever. I'm pretty sure anybody could find another way to relax other than getting high like that. Okay? But people are going to do what they're going to do. I mean, if for the next 3 or 4 weeks he literally smokes dope and reads the Bible, then eventually he's going to get to know Jesus, and then maybe he'll realize, maybe I should stop. You know what I'm saying? So if you make a super huge moral issue on that to a non-Christian guy, who knows? Who knows? You know, some of the drugs that I did in my teen years caused me to start thinking about God. Okay? Don't you quote me on that. Don't you tell, yeah, take some peyote and then you'll have a religious experience and be a better, you know what I'm saying? So I might possibly give that guy a pass for now, you know? And come back to it later. But if a Christian told me that, I'd like, dude, you know, come on, you're wasting my time here. But that's a non-Christian, right?
Yeah. I don't know him. It's just a story that I've heard.
No, I'm sure that's happened. I'm sure that happened lots of times. Yeah. A lot of people, when they're on marijuana, they feel more spiritual. Because it's kind of a mind-expanding drug. LSD is as well. I did LSD when I was in high school. Okay? And I felt more spiritual when I did it. But it is a sin. It is a sin to do that. And don't you do it. Yeah.
And it's like just sad, especially like the area I live in, you see all the people, all the homeless people out here and stuff. Like some of them are on drugs. You see a lot of people on drugs out here and stuff like that. It's like it's sad.
Right. Christians, don't do drugs. Period. All right? Got it? All right, so here are our discussion questions. Number one, give an example of a Christian issue of sin or conscience in which you would be classified as weak. In other words, you don't think Christians should be doing that, but you know, maybe possibly it's actually not a sin. Okay? And then that might be harder. And then give an example of a Christian issue or sin in which you would be classified as strong. In other words, there's a lot of people that think you can't do it as a Christian, but you've read the Bible. You don't see why it's a sin. Got it? And then for both, discuss how you might treat those in the other camp. In other words, if you're the weak one, you think it's bad. For me, I think tattoos, it's not a big deal, but I just think a Christian would never get a tattoo. So I'm in the weak category there. Got it? So what should I do about that? All right, got it? So let's have our discussion groups. This will be fun. Let's have our discussion groups. Brummets, you still there? What was that, Josh?
That we're driving.
Oh, you're driving. Okay. We had kind of an interesting discussion. So we're doing guys and girls? All right, that's fine. That might be hard to go through these questions with such large groups. What's that? Yep. I think it'd be better to have three groups just because it's going to be hard to go through these questions. All right, let's form another group. Well, it's just... All right, we need one person from your group to join us. All right, Josh? Okay, great. See you guys.
Oh, you're leaving us.
Oh. It's just five people. It'll take a long time to go through that list.
Yeah, we just started. Okay.